Welcome to Try Lawyer Talk. I'm Scott Glovsky, and I'm your host for this podcast where we speak with some of the best trial lawyers in the United States. This is a storytelling podcast, so we have great lawyers tell great stories from cases that had a profound impact on them. So let's get started. Very happy to be sitting with a phenomenal trial lawyer, Grant Lawson, who practices in Casper, Wyoming, but has tried cases all over the country and handles very serious personal injury cases of all kinds. And Grant, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you share with us a story that had a profound impact on you?
When I was probably a couple years into my practice, I had the absolute fortune of representing a great family in Wyoming who lost their son, who was in his mid-20s, who also left behind a two-year-old boy in the oil field. He was out working and lost his life on a drilling rig, and I became exceptionally close with that family, and it became the first time in my career where the case was more than just a case. The case was, it was so deep in meaning to me, and I was so attached and so committed to these people that it really made me realize what I wanted to do with the rest of my career and what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and that was help people that have been wronged and try to make things right for others out there who have suffered injustice.
How did you become close with the family?
I spent a lot of time with them. I went to their house, I went to their home, and became their family. I became family with them. I became someone that went and had dinner with them, went and had breakfast with them, went and walked, went to the cemetery and talked to their dead son with them. I did things that I'd never done before. I kind of just became a friend, and I became real with these people. And it wasn't just, hey, let's show up, I got to prep you for your deposition. It was, I want to know about your life. Where did you come from? How did you get to where you are today? Who are you inside? And when you take that time with your clients and the people that you represent, it's magical what you discover, and it's magical how that translates to real, true emotion and feeling in front of a jury.
Well, you're there in a cemetery. Tell us that story of that day.
Boy, that was tough. I had never done something like that before, and I wasn't sure what to expect, but we showed up there, and they introduced me to him. They introduced me to Alan, it was his name, I gave that family a chance to just talk with their son, and I was just a witness to what the raw pain of the loss of this loved one in their life, and I was just amazed by what I learned about this man who was dead and this young man, what I learned through the family, because we just took the time to care and just took the time to listen and just took the time to cut through the BS. And so when I left that place, I felt like, wow, this is a whole new level that I've just discovered in terms of how to connect with my clients and how to get real with my clients and how to help tell their story.
And what did you learn about this family?
I learned that they were hardworking, great, great Wyoming folks who deeply loved, the family connection was deep, and they loved each other. And it embodied their relationship. That family relationship embodies everything that we stand for as Americans. You know, love and commitment and forgiveness and all of those key ingredients that you have to have in a family. And I just know that that family made me almost a little sad, jealous to the extent that I didn't have as close of a relationship with my own family, with my parents, with my siblings, as they did. And it made me admire them even more, because it made me want to aspire to be that type of family. And at the time, I wasn't married yet. I didn't have a child. And so I've taken that now with me, that what I've learned from that family and how they loved each other and how they were committed to each other and how they believed in each other and had forgiveness when they'd make mistakes. All of those things that I never really had or learned with my own family, I now have incorporated into my life with my wife and my children or my child, I should say. But boy, it's just that family, it really, really opened my eyes to a whole different world. And in turn, I was able to tell their story better than they could, because I got to see all angles and all perspectives of it. And really, it was amazing.
So tell us a story. You sought out to discover the story. Mm-hmm. What did you do to discover the story?
Wow. One of the things I did was I asked them to send me pictures of this young man's entire childhood. And when I saw that this young man was a wrestler, age 4 and 5 years old, I actually got with the father and learned about how passionate this young man was about wrestling. And we actually, when I went to the home, I got to see his trophies. I got to see his singlet. They kept wrestling singlets still in his bedroom today that are still there. And I got to discover what this young man loved. And he loved wrestling. He loved his golden retriever. He loved his dog. He loved his family. And of course, the family loved him. And I got to learn who he was, who he is. And all through that, I also got to learn who the family was, the father, this tough, gruff man from Wyoming with forearms, like Popeye, you know, just a deep voice and just a strong, very strong personality and character. But boy, you melt through that, and he was as soft as a marshmallow and as loving and tender as anyone can be. About his son and that loss, that the loss to him was so profound and so great that it destroyed him in many ways. It destroyed his spirit. And I spent a lot of time discovering how bad that hurt him and how bad that affected his life and how he can go forward, how he could move forward from that point. And the mother as well. The mother, of course, was devastated as well, but she had her own story as well, and so did the sister. And so as I spent more time with the family, the more trips I went to their home or the more time that we went and had coffee, I learned more and more about this family and about who they were. And in turn, I was able to really step inside of their stories and tell their stories.
So please continue. What happened in working up their story?
Well, what happened, one of the most incredible things is that I was in the process of the discovery of the case, why this young man died. And I took the deposition of a man who was responsible for part of this drilling operation. And I did something I had never done before, and that was I forced myself to try some of these things that we preach and that we teach at the Trial Lawyers College, and I really, really utilized setting the scene and first-person techniques and then stepping inside of the hide of this man, and it was the most incredible thing I've ever experienced, where this man lost track of time and space and was honest about how he made a huge fatal error that cost this man's life.
Can you give us a piece of that?
So I went back to the rig, and we were there in that room that day, but we were really on the drilling rig platform. We set that scene in the deposition room with all of the machinery, with the pipes and the pipe, what are called tongs, would grab the pipe. And
so can you take us back in the depot, and for our listeners out there that really don't have a sense, and give us a piece of how you took him there?
So I asked him to stop and think for a minute. I said, "Sir, if you could, please, I want you to just stop and for a minute, let's not talk. Just think about that day. Think about what the weather was like and what the temperature was like. What smells do we smell here? Who was there? What were you wearing? How did you feel?" I asked him to really get into that place at that time. And so after I asked him to do that, he looked at me and kind of was a little bit perplexed, but he did what I asked. He was kind enough to go along with what I asked him to do. And it really helped because he remembered it was a brutally cold day. It was absolutely frigid. It was below zero and the wind was blowing. And it was kind of a cloudy, dismal day, and it fit the mood, obviously, for what happened that day. But the smells of the oil, the petroleum, the diesel from the engines, you know, you could taste it because it was so thick and it was right there. And then the how loud it was, this equipment, just the grinding and the high pressure hoses that were running from the generators. And boy, it was just amazing because we were there. I mean, he set that scene for us, and we were on that drilling rig platform working like a bunch of roughnecks and derrick hands and drillers. I mean, it was we were there, and that technique really did, it brought us back to that moment in time. And we lived it. We lived through that moment in time, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever experienced.
So what happened next?
So what happened next was I asked him, I had him go through exactly the motions that he went through on that day before this young man was killed. And he didn't have an opportunity to think about anything other than the truth. He only had the opportunity, because he was in the moment, to be real. And he only had the opportunity to tell the truth and the truth that he knew. And boy, it was thankfully damning to him and for the family, because after we got through it, it was like a light bulb went off, like, "Holy God, what just happened? And oh, I better go back and try to change things now." But the damage was done. The story was real. It was out. And we learned that he did not properly set up this equipment, and he did not warn these guys about the dangers of the equipment. And because of that, it killed this man. And I saw it in his eyes, and he realized it too. And it was very powerful. One of the most powerful, I mean, still to this day, I'll take that with me forever.
So what's next in the story of the case?
What's next is we fought the fight, we fought the battle for as long as we had to, and we took on the corporation, this big oil company that this guy was working for, and found out how they just didn't give a shit about safety, and how everything was just an absolute lie. I mean, they put out these policies and procedures, safety requirements. Well, not only weren't they not teaching their employees that, but nobody even gave a shit. It was drill, baby, drill, and let's go get that money. Let's go get that black gold. And that really helped us going forward with getting that case resolved. And I still think about the lessons from that case and how I, you know, how I apply those to all the oil and gas cases, all the drilling cases that I do these days.
So where was Grant Lawson's connection to your story, to your client?
Right. My connection to Alan. We were both, he was only a couple years younger than me when he died. He was a Wyoming boy. He grew up in Wyoming. He was a quintessential Wyoming boy. He had the golden retriever. I had a golden retriever. He hunted. He fished. I hunted. I fished. And I saw myself in him because I used to be a wildland firefighter. I used to know what it was like to work. I was out there in treacherous conditions, just like this young man was on his drilling rig. And I saw him in me. I saw me in him. However you want to say it, I shared in that emotion with the family. And I think that that's why they came to trust in me too, is because they know, they could see that I was so deeply connected to that man. And I still get pretty emotional about it these days because could have been me, and or a lot of my friends, you know, who made that decision to go out in life and go work in the oil field, because that's what you did in Wyoming. You know, you go out and be tough and go make that great paycheck. And a lot of my friends did that too, and boy, I almost went that route as well, and I could just I could relate, and so that's how I connected, and I connected with the love that that family had for each other, and how I had family members as well that I was close to, but I also had other family members that I wasn't, and so you know, it just brought me back to my childhood with my family and just how precious time in life was and those days, but you didn't know it. Now looking back, how you cherish those moments. And so I had a great experience with that case, and I take it with me every day. I still think about it.
I see your tears. If your tears could talk, what would they say?
You know, you always get so involved in these cases. You always get so wrapped. Oops, sorry. You always get so wrapped up. You always get so involved in these cases when you care about your clients that you always hope that you do the best job you can for them, and hopefully there's no regrets. Hopefully there's no you know, lasting feelings of, you know, did I make the right decision for this family? Did I help them? Did I work hard enough for them? Did I counsel them? Did I advise them, you know, properly? Did I do all these things? And I think I did, but I still always wonder. I mean, I wonder that with every case that I do, with these clients that I get close with, if I'm doing as much as I can for them and making the best out of the time that I have on this earth to help them.
You ever feel like maybe I'm not good enough?
Always. There's always a better lawyer out there. There's always going to be a whatever. There's always going to be tough breaks and good breaks, you know, depending on what happens. But I'm always fearful that that I'm not good enough and I'm not doing enough and I can't be good enough or do good enough or work hard enough, and it's tough. I struggle with it a lot. I have to remind myself that I can only do the job that I can do. I can only do my best, and my best can't always be compared to other people. It just has to be my best, and so, yeah, I struggle. I struggle with that a lot.
You know, you mentioned that you're a firefighter. What did you learn fighting fires in treacherous conditions that has impacted your lawyering?
You know, those days were incredible. I developed bonds with men and women out on the fire line that is hard to compare to anything else, in terms of being out there in dangerous condition for days on end and hours on end, and you've got to depend on everybody around you just like they are depending on you. And what I guess it really prepared me for, which I didn't know at the time, is that I was going to become somebody that people really depended upon and really trusted in and really believed in. And I didn't know that at the time, but it helped prepare me for that. It helped prepare me for being a leader and to have people trust in me and to gain that trust and to take that trust very, very serious and be on top of it, because we have been given the blessing of helping people and or protecting people, and boy, we got to just make sure that we always, always keep that in the forefront of our mind, that it is a blessing.
At your funeral, what do you want your son to say about you? And I don't mean publicly.
Scott, you asked a really tearjerker there, right? As you can tell. I love my son more than anything in the world. And I just hope that when I die, my son will look back through all the years and say, he was the best dad he could be. And I love him. I think that's all I could ask for.
Grant, I'm so thankful for you spending time with us today, because you are an incredibly powerful lawyer, an incredibly powerful person, and you're a role model for all of us. And I'm so appreciative on behalf of your clients, and I really want 100 years from now for your son to listen to this episode, because you've not only given us a gift, but you've given him a gift. Thank you very much for sharing your wisdom with us.
Hey, thank you, Scott. This is just such a great opportunity, and I absolutely appreciate you giving me a chance to talk with you today. This is great. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today for Trial Lawyer Talk. If you like the show, I'd really appreciate it if you could give us a good review on iTunes, and I'd love to get your feedback. You can reach me at www.scottglovsky.com. That's scottglovsky.com. And I'd love to hear your feedback. You can also check out the book that I published called Fighting Health Insurance Denials, A Primer for Lawyers. That's on Amazon. I put the book together based on 20 years of suing health insurance companies for denying medical care to people, and it provides a general outline of how to fight health insurance denials. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you in the next episode.